I want to thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your day to come and serve God. I know that this morning will be meaningful for you, because any time we're in service to God, it's meaningful. I would ask that you would give our brother Smith your undivided attention. And I present Apostle Smith Brickhouse.
Good morning. It's good to be here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the opportunity as we have gathered here to hear the words of the Lord spoken and to learn of Him, maybe reflect on our lives and where we are and where we're going, and the need to fellowship among the body of Christ and those that believe the way that we believe and have the desires that we have to serve Him. Recently, actually it was June, I guess, but we had a young adult class that I was in part of, we talked about the role of the Church of the Christ and the need for us to be a part of it and to focus upon the things that were required for us to be the people of God. And in our Sunday school, we've been talking about the Zion and the future, the gathering of the, God's people among earth, and those things that cause it to being pure in heart and being ready and able and willing to serve God. We find that in 3 Timothy, there's forces that are work against us, talking about the last days and talking about the perilous times. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That's the day and the time that we live. That's the condition of the world that we see when we go out from among the body of Christ and have to go to work or are among people of the world. We find that the things have drastically changed. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They even make fun of those that do good. What is bad is good, and what is good is bad in these days that we live. There's traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. We're to be different. We're to not partake of that, even though we're among it on a daily basis. And the Lord has told us, that it's important that we endure, that we continue in the faith, and that there will be a time of the judgment. It says that in Revelations 20 and the 12th verse, we're all going to stand before God and be judged according to our works. Did we partake of the things of the world in the last time? Or have we separated ourselves and taken part of the things of the belief of the Church of Christ? And the fellowship of the brothers and sisters, and the worship of God, and keeping His commandments. And so we find that there is a need to search within ourselves and to look at in our daily lives and to take those things out of it that are not pleasing to our God, to have a purpose, to not just wander around and let the forces of evil destroy us and draw us away, but to take a stand, to put on the whole armor of God. And after we've done so, to stand, to allow our light to shine to others, to reinforce each other's, to help each other in our daily lives, in our conversations, in our trials, in our problems, to offer our prayers for one another, and use those things that the Lord has given us to use, to be good stewards of those things. That He has given us to fight the battle. So that's one of the purposes, of course. We're here today. And the Lord is pleased with us, as our brother said. We read in the book of Mosiah, in the first chapter, in the 119th verse, that we have to make a change in our life. That if we just go about the way that we are, we're not going to have the blessings of God to the fullest extent. It says here that for the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. We work contrary to the things of God. That's our mentality. That's our makeup. And we have to yield. We have to repent. It says in the 120th verse, but if he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh the saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh a child submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willingness to submit to all the things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. We have to change. We have to have a purpose. We have to take time out, pull ourselves away from the noise of the world, and reflect on where we're headed. We have to yield, allow the Holy Spirit to work with us, to search it in our life, to allow it to strengthen us and to direct us. Putting off those natural tendencies that we have of pride and covetousness and anger and all those things, and to be different. We're commanded to search the Scriptures. It tells us to study the Scriptures that we might be approved. It doesn't, you notice it says study. It doesn't say just read them. I mean, we should read the Scriptures. But while we're reading them, we should have a purpose. They're written for you and I to study them, to know what the Lord wants us to do, that we might be obedient. How we can be obedient, what his commandments are, what we should do and not to do, and how the Lord will help us to overcome the natural man. And so I'm hoping that we will think today on our own lives, not looking at everybody else, but our own lives, our own family, our own situations, and where we stand according to the commandments of God. And to develop a plan to allow the Holy Spirit to direct us in our life, that we might be submissive and meek and humble, that we might yield, that we might serve others, that we might have thoughts for others over our own thoughts and needs. That's the purpose. That's the Lord tells us to meet together often here. We have to be reminded of these things. We have to be among the body and to fellowship and understand how the Lord has blessed so-and-so or has blessed me or hear their testimonies and hear their prayers that we might be strengthened because we're in a spiritual warfare according to the sixth chapter of Ephesians against spiritual wickedness in high places. We can see it. We can look at all the politics that have been talking now and the situations around the world in the economies. I had somebody sent something to me this last week on the budget. There's no way we're going to get out of debt. We're going to end up like Greek. And there's trials that are going to come upon us, but the Lord has a plan and he has a purpose in us. And if he has to, he will force to humble us to be humble. But it's so much more of a blessing, the scriptures say, of those that haven't been forced to be humble. If we come meek with a willingness and a desire. So we have, I've got all these scriptures. And I don't know if I'm going to use any of them. I think an example is we have the Apostle Peter. Okay, he's, I believe, was like a lot like you and I. He heard of Christ and, you know, reaching to him on the Sea of Galilee, and he and his brother went with him. He knew him. Hey, that's Christ. I ought to follow him. And he left his, you know, and went. And Christ asked him, you know, do you know who I am? And he said, yeah, you're the Son of God. I mean, he recognized the authority and who he was and what he was to do. Okay? But what did the Lord tell Peter? And so, you know, I'm relating that or trying to relate it to you and I. We recognize Jesus Christ. We recognize who he is and his authority. And yet, you know, we fall perhaps into the same category that Peter did for a time. Now, if we turn to Luke in the 22nd chapter, and I'm just going to... The apostles evidently were arguing somewhat who was to be in charge. 24th verse says, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Boy, that is a natural state, huh? And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But you shall not so be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Yet are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He's telling them that he's going to bless them. And then the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. Peter had a belief, he had a knowledge, but at that point in time, he wasn't converted. He wasn't convicted. He hadn't humbled himself. He was the same old self. He was concerned about who was going to be in charge, and he hadn't completely changed to the will of God. And so as Peter had to do this, and Peter did it, you know, he did it after he denied Christ three times. He said, I don't know the guy. Never heard of him. Don't know who he is. And we need to look at our life. Do we do that inadvertently at times? Deny Christ and the importance of the gospel of Christ? Sure, we all do. And we have to look at those things, point them out to ourselves, and make an effort to change. So, you know, after he had denied and fulfilled what Christ had said he was going to do, he recognized it and humbled himself and became completely converted and was a great servant of God. And it was very effective. And so, that way is it, that can be you and I, if we yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, humble ourselves, and submit, and study the Scriptures, and get an understanding of what it is we're supposed to be doing. That it becomes important to us, that it becomes first place in our hearts and our life, and the Lord will bless us. That's His promise. I already, you know, I refer to Ephesians in the 6th chapter about it being we're at spiritual warfare and put on the whole armor of God. And we talked about the perilous times that are coming, but with somebody mentioned in Sunday school, the righteous need not fear. will be blessed. Those of us that follow the example of Jesus Christ, that repent of our sins, that yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, the Lord will bless us in all this turmoil of the earth. All those things that seemingly are falling apart or that take our time and our concerns that we have will be done away with if we yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. And that's different than what the world's telling us. Let's turn to Matthew in the 6th chapter. Sermon on the Mount, starting with, I'm going to start in it in the verse 22. Well, at any rate, I will start. The light of the body is the eye. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. You know. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He's telling us, we have to make a choice. We're going to serve God or we're going to serve the world or the love of money or whatever it is. You know, and he's telling us to come out from those things. He goes on talking about the lilies of the field. I'm going to skip down to verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know, we are not to worry about the things of the world and our raiment. And he says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, those that aren't part of Christ. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. But, you know, the point is, it's telling us to seek first the kingdom of God. You know, I don't think it's telling us, you know, we have to prepare and have clothes and food and things. Telling us that. But that's not supposed to be the first priority. First priority is to seek the Lord in his ways, in his kingdom, in his righteousness. And these things will be added to. The Lord will bless us. So when, you know, we have the instructions of Jesus Christ, and telling us very specifically to seek ye first the kingdom of God. We find in John in the 8th chapter, in the 12th verse, Jesus spoke. Then Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, following the example of Jesus Christ. So we have a need to study the scriptures, find out what Jesus Christ, how he lived, where he set his priorities, what he told us to do, the examples he set. Compare them. The Lord is calling us for these purposes. To be converted as Peter, seeking first the kingdom of God, and to be a good stewards of what God has given us. We have a need to set personal priorities for our family, for putting Christ within our lives as a family, and having family studies and family prayer time, putting it into our budgets for our financial resources, putting those things, the tithing. But to also, how many of us have a budget at home or ever worked on a budget at home? I hope a lot of people did, especially you young couples. Okay, yeah, because, you know, there's so many needs. You always run out of money. There's you know, it's not any different. You know, the more you have, the more you spend, I guess, you know, but it's the same for everybody. You got to have some idea of what things are to be important, you know, with your money. But it's also with our time and our talents. So how many of us have a budget for our time? You know, where do we use our time and talents? You know, are we tithing our time and talents? We talk about tithing for 10% of our income. Why should we be looking at least tithing our time to use our talents for God? Our time to seek the kingdom of God? You know, he knows we have to get up in the morning, go to school, go to work, cook, all those things. But he's telling us, where is your first priority? You know, what things should we do first? And so my purpose here is to get us to think about what it is that we are involved with in our life. Because Satan can use up all of our time. And we don't ever have it, you know, just like he uses up all our money, you know, and we don't have the time to do the things that are important. Okay? So, you know, and I'm not going to give you a list of all the things that are important, but I want to turn to Philippians. I'm not doing a very good job of finding it. In the second chapter, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort, you know, not only am I getting deaf, but I'm getting blind. So, yeah. Any comfort of love, in any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy. For fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. We're to be in the same mind as Jesus Christ. Same thought process. You know, to allow him that we might have the charity and the love that he has, that we might be in accord with his desires, our desires, and our priorities. He goes on and says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem one better than themselves. You know, are we doing things for personal gain? Maybe even above and beyond our physical needs? Are we making sure that others have what they need? Let's strive for those things that bring eternal life. Look not every man at his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Goes, you know, and he became a servant. And that's what we're to be. Are we serving God? Are we serving others? Is it a priority in our life? Or are we doing everything else but that? What is the balance that we need to have? So that's something that you have to do. You know, tells us in verse 12 to work Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Be, you know, are you supposed to be scared to death? No, I don't think so. You know, but he's saying be conscious of what you're doing. Because we're all going to stand before God. And we're going to be judged. And this time that we have is our time to prepare for that day of judgment. But the Lord will bless us and ensure us and direct us and lift us up and guide us in that if we are his people and we're numbered among his, you know, the righteous in the last days. And so this task that we have, you know, is ever working unto perfection, that we might, it might be found well with us. He talks here about, Philippians in general there, that second chapter is good. But I would encourage you to read it and study it and look at how you could put those things to practice in your life. Plain, simple terms of what it is we're to be doing. You know, we ought to have them written on the wall or something when we get up in the morning to reflect on them. In the third chapter of Colossians, and start in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Specific instructions. Are we merciful? Do we forgive those who despitefully use us? Are we conscious of our the need to show kindness to one another and to those around us, even our enemies, to have the Spirit of Christ work within our heart that we have a mission to be like him first. Meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, accepting one another, you know, forgiving one another. He says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That charity, that pure love of God, that pureness of righteousness of heart, that's required. It says it will be found well with us in the last days. All the, you know, the scriptures, the Book of Mormon teaches us to pray for it with all the energy of heart. So I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians. Remember now, I gave you second chapter of Philippians, third chapter of Colossians, and now I'm going to go to the end of the 12th chapter of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Starting in the 27th verse. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. To be aware of all these things, but he's showing us a more excellent way. He's saying, though I speak with the tongue of angels and have not charity, I have become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You know, if I lack the pure love of God for others, I can be, you know, have all these talents, and all, you know, but I'm going to be just making a loud, unfruitful noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long. So now he's going to tell us what charity is. This most important thing that we should be praying for and put it to practice in our life and to seeking it and to putting off the natural man. Charity is kind. We have a kindness to, you know, being patient one with another, going out of our way to help somebody, seeking their needs out, going above and beyond what we would normally do. Charity is not envying, not having desire to have those things that everybody, that the world has, and to almost to a fault or to a fault. Charity vaulteth not off itself. We're to be humble and not be self-important. We're, you know, that's what we like to be, and we have to be different than that. Is not puffed up. Doth not believe itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. No. Don't be prideful. Don't put yourself first. Don't get angry. Don't let things upset you and get you provoked. Think of those things above. You know, people will try to, you know, those situations are, sometimes, especially in our world today, of all the stress we have on all the things that are available or not available to us, it's easily to get provoked. But we're to set that aside and be thankful for those things that the Lord has provided us. Think no evil. Don't rejoice in evil. Don't take part of evil. Don't put it on a pedestal. We see the evil things in the world. Have no part of it. Separated from it. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. You know, rejoice in the things that God has provided for us and is his plan of salvation and the burdens that we bear because of him and those that will despitefully use us. It says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Giving us guidelines on how to live our life. They're in the Scriptures. They're there for our edification. And we're to study them and put them to practice in our life. Study them with a purpose. What it is, how they're to be accomplished, and then compare that to how we can implement them in our family, in our daily life, in our thinking, in our purpose, and in our priorities. Otherwise, all other things are vain. Otherwise, we fall where Peter was. He knew Christ. He knew who he was. But he wasn't convicted or converted until he humbled himself and gave his life completely over to him. Because that's where the promise is. That's the promise that's available for each one of us. So we have to look within our life. My hope is, yet you'll consider the things that are being said and you'll make some inquiries into your own lives and how you're spending your time and your talent and your resources. You know, it would, if we were doing a budget, a financial budget, we would... We'd list down, I think, you know, first of all, every place we spend money. You know, and And then you compare that to how much you got, and you find out you're in trouble, usually. You know? And so you have to make decisions. What is important? What becomes, what, you know, what's first? Scriptures tell us, first we should pay our tithes. He lets us have the first 10%, we can keep 90. Okay? And, you know, we have to have food. We have to have shelter for our family. You know, we have to have, in this day and age, clothing and you know, those things. And so that's a high priority. You might have, you know, taxes and insurance and those. You know, that's a high priority. You know, but we start getting into things that we're spending money on that have no real value to us. You know, I should take that back. They have a value to, but not to our livelihood, for our physical well-being necessarily. Okay. And so we have to do the same with our spiritual lives. And we need to take a spiritual assessment of where we're spending our time and our talents and our money. Write down those things. You know, in a week's time, 12 hours a day that we're awake, you know, it gives us 84 hours a week at 10%, you know, to do everything in life. You know, 10% of that is, you know, 8.4 hours or something. And so, you know, we can look and see, are we spending that amount or somewhere near that amount of time in prayer, in study, in righteous instructions to our children, in service to God and His people and the church? You know, where in all those things that we ought to be doing. And consider it. Talk with your spouse, just like you would have a budget, or, you know, those that, you know, you can deal with, somebody to help you and walk through it. They get committed to serve God. Because at the end of the week, you know, unless we do already know where we're going to spend our time serving God, and set a time, X amount of time daily for prayer or for study or for helping somebody or serving somebody or providing for somebody or seeking somebody out that's not been attending or the needs of others, it doesn't happen. That's human nature, because everything else fills it up. Good things, but not things that bring us soul salvation. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And so I want to suggest that you, as young couples especially, old couples, whatever, you know, to take time out and make an assessment of where you're spending your time and getting an understanding of the amount of time God requires, and you know, the use of our talents and our well-being, and you know, to put that into our thoughts, and so be it into our schedule for the week, for the day, for the month. Otherwise, it ends up, you know, we're out there not being convicted, and the Lord will bless us in the process. You know that. You'll find that hard to do. I worked out a little, my 8.4 hours or whatever it was, you know, a week. You know, and you know, we come to Sunday school, there's an hour. We come to church, there's an hour. We come, you know, Sunday night, there's another hour. You know, but you know, or Wednesday night, and you know, but more is required. More is required. To seek first the kingdom. We have to be conscious every day of what we're doing. And the time that we're spending, you know, and I'm not saying we're supposed to sit there with a stopwatch, and, you know, I'm not saying that. But we have to be conscious that the Lord requires something from us every day in our daily walk in life. We should be using our talents, prayers, and
those things that God has provided with us, to be a light, to be an example, to have personal hope in our righteousness and of life eternal, that it might be found well with us in the last day when we stand there to be judged. Because we've opened the scriptures, and they're there for us. They're there for our edification and instruction. And we're to read them and to not only understand them and study them, but to do what? Put them to practice in our life. Study with your children the need for baptism. Study for them about Jesus Christ. Study with them about the hope that we have. Study about the promises of God, of Zion. Look and study about the need to tithe and how you actually go about doing that. Try it. Put it to practice. And the promise is the Lord will bless us. I'm pointing the finger at myself. I'm trying not to. But, we lose sight of that on a daily basis. And, the car needs fixing, the grass needs cutting, the kids have to be taken to school, and you got to do all this, but yeah, you do. But, there's still 12 hours in the day. We're going to let you sleep 12 hours too, I guess. The Lord, we're supposed to have him on our mind at all times. And we live in perilous times. We're losing our families. We're losing our kids. We're losing our promises that God has given us unless we become converted. Unless we become like Peter became and gave his life. And it became important. And he let his light shine, became a different person that he might serve them. So, giving you some scriptures, I'm asking you to do something when you leave. I'm asking you to make an assessment of where you use your time and your talents. I don't care if it's shoveling the sidewalk, cutting the grass, painting the walls, cleaning the church, going and visit somebody, bringing a casserole over to somebody, whatever it is. Are we doing the things that the Lord wants us to do? Are we being his people? This is the day and the time that the Lord has given us. Being good stewards of those things that we have, that he might continue to pour out his blessing upon us. We sang a song in Sunday school this morning. I liked it, whoever picked it out. I think it was 308. Is that it? I'm looking at you, Bruce. It says, Jesus calls us over the turmoil. Got all these crazy things going on in the world. But Christ is calling you and I. He wants us to be his. Of our life's wild, restless sea, the day and the turmoil that we are living. Day by day, his sweet voice sounded, saying, Christian, follow me. Follow my example. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain and world's golden store. Remove ourselves from the worship of the things of the world, but to seek those things that lead to eternal life. For each idol that would keep us saying, Christian, love me more. We're going to have to put the idols of the world and the priorities of the world aside and put Christ first. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls, he cares and pleasures. Christian, love me more than these. Love those things that are of Christ. Put them the first in our life. Jesus calls us by thy mercies. Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience. Serve thee
best of all. I'm thankful for the opportunity. I hope that I have somewhat presented something that will entice you to seek those things above, to make an assessment of, and a plan for your spiritual growth and the spiritual growth of your families and your spouses. It's important for their soul salvation. That we might be the people that Christ wants us to be. That we might be his people, the pure in heart. Zion might be a reality, but it starts in our home, starts in our morning when we get up, and how we live our life and the priorities we give. Let's remember to pray for each other. Thank you.